Well, it is wonderful to be back in Albany Diocese again and to bring you greetings from your sister diocese of Down and Dromore. And every time we come, we reflect on the fact that it is even more years since all of this started. Liz and I first came in 1999, and I think I've been to about 17 of your diocesan conventions, something like that anyway. Probably more than some of you here. And I particularly look forward to another group coming. There are 15 of us this year at the convention, and another group coming of, I think it's 14 young people to Beaver Cross to help at Beaver Cross for 2 weeks in July. And then some of your clergy and spouses coming to our diocesan clergy conference in October in the town of Donegal, and we look forward to that too. But the thing that I look forward to most of all is beating Karen Love at ping pong. The truth is that I haven't played her since I beat her, because I don't want to lose the record. But I think I'm getting very old now, Karen, much older than you, so I don't have really much chance tonight when I stay with the Loves. And I want to say to Bill that we are just so thrilled to be in this continuing relationship with the Diocese of Albany. And Bishop Bill and I, as he said, were in Juba recently at the enthronement of our link bishop, Bishop Justin, who has now moved from Meridi, and Bishop Moses has taken over in Meridi, and Bishop Justin is now the primate of South Sudan. So it's a wonderful link, a very important link for me, and I'll come back to that later on. When Bob Haskell asked me, would I like to preach on the set reading of the day or choose my own, I always answer that in the same way. Well, pretty well always, unless it's from Leviticus or something like that. And I determined to preach on the set reading. And I didn't get really very much further than the first verse in our reading today. And it goes like this, verse 32 of Luke 12. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I was ruminating on 150 years of Albany Diocese. I could say that we've had St. Patrick around for 1,500 years, but I won't say that. But what I will say is that as you celebrate 150 years of Albany Diocese, the Church of Ireland is coming up to a strange kind of celebration, because next year it will be 150 years since the Church of Ireland was disestablished. Up to then, it was the Church of England and Ireland together for nearly a century, and we loved that. We didn't want to be disestablished at all. We liked all the kudos that that gave. We liked the bigness of it all. We liked the sense that the church was the church of the society and had this wonderful idea in Ireland of being established, even though we were nowhere near as big as the Roman Catholic Church. So we were the winners. That's how we saw it. And the government had to really force us, even give us money, to be disestablished. And then when we were disestablished, we decided to make the best of it, and now we wouldn't want to be back with England anyway. Quite happy where we are. You know what that means, don't you, here in the States? So the Church of Ireland has no relationship whatever to the Crown in England or anything like that. It's a totally free entity and province of the Anglican Communion. But it strikes me that there are times and moments in the life of a church, whether it's a parish church, a local congregation, whether it's a diocese, or whether it's a national church. There are times and moments in the life of a church when there's something we need to hear from God, and this is the verse I think we need to hear. Do not be afraid, or fear not, it says in the version we had, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want to make 3 points, because that's what you usually do in our context. 3 points. Number one, when you are fearful, remember that you have a good shepherd in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You see, the smallness of it all can make us afraid. The smallness, this is the only place in the New Testament or in the Bible that phrase, little flock, is used. There are many places where the concept of us being God's sheep or God's flock are used. But in this concept, the word, in this verse, the word little is really important. Because if you are a tiny little flock of sheep, you feel all the more exposed. You feel all the more endangered. You feel all the more open to the potential that the ravening wolves are going to get you, don't you? Yes. I mean, we have this experience in our lives in different ways. And what it can do is sometimes make you so afraid that you can't do anything. You just almost become numbed by fear. But what we need to put alongside it is this: that when you have the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, who is the door to the sheepfold, who protects the sheep, then it doesn't matter what size the flock is, it is secure. Even if we're a big flock of sheep, it wouldn't be any more secure for its size. The thing that gives us our security is the shepherd, Jesus Christ himself. They say it says in the Bible those words, fear not, 365 times, one for every day in the year. I have never counted it because it might only be 363 and it might ruin my idea. But let's imagine it says it 365 times. So this is yours for today. Fear not. As in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I do not fear, because you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. So that's the first from this little verse. When you're fearful, remember that you have a good shepherd. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, now, and forever. Secondly, when you are uncertain about your value, remember that God is your Father. That's the second bit. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sometimes people criticize new songs and they say they're not as good as the old hymns and things like that. You don't say that in Albany, I'm sure. But there is a wonderful new song that blessed me greatly during the time of prayer for people at the healing service last night when people started to sing it. Do you know it? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And there's these wonderful images. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. Who thinks up a line like that? a wonderful song. And turn it on, put it on YouTube, and listen to the story of the person who wrote it at some point. You see, what this verse is telling us is that God is our Father. Now, there are different ways in which you can understand God being Father. There's a sense in which God is the Father of everyone on earth because everyone comes from Him in the end of the day. But that's an inadequate understanding of God as Father. It's when you get the word our Father, your Father, my Father, that it makes a difference. That's talking about those who are disciples, about those who have been born into God's family. We have just had our first grandson. 3 granddaughters and now 1 grandson. His name's Thomas. And we dote on him. We think he's the most wonderful child ever to have been created. Of course, we can't say that to the girls, but we think he's, because he's the first boy, we are just doting on him, and every picture we get of him, we think he looks even more beautiful. And you know something? When a child is related to you, you get pleasure in that child in a way you don't get it just in the generality of all the children around the place. One of the greatest heresies of our day, in my view, and I'm just using this as a parenthesis, is to declare that everybody is a child of God. In biblical terms, that is not the case. In biblical terms, actually, and I don't want to use the word, but I will just briefly, we're children of wrath until we're born into God's family. It is only by the grace of God, by the amazing grace of God, that adopts us who were outside the family into the family, that takes us who were far from Him and makes us His own, that makes us in this sense children of God and gives us that wonderful privilege of declaring with Jesus, our Father who is in heaven. And I want you to know, as a child of God, by adoption and grace, that when you think you are of no value, God takes pleasure in you. That's what it tells us. It is your Father's good pleasure. He is pleased with you. He sees you in Jesus Christ. He rejoices that you're in Jesus Christ. He loves you being His son or His daughter. He is glad to give you an inheritance in heaven because by the grace of God, in the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, you have been born again into the family. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. His blood flows through my veins. And part of our job is by the grace of God to bring other people into that family. It may be a little family at times. It may seem to be the kind of family at times that people don't begin to understand or even perhaps despise. We've seen that in different parts of the world where the church is persecuted. But God takes pleasure in you. Thirdly, well, I'll give you the first two. When we're fearful, remember that we have a good shepherd. When we feel unvalued or don't know our value, remember that God, our Father, takes pleasure in us. And thirdly, when you choose to give up earthly things for Christ, remember that He gives you the kingdom. Right? You see, we hated that as a church. We absolutely hated it that we had to give up. There was a time when we charged tithes of the whole nation, right? We felt we were secure. We felt we had all the historic buildings. We still have. Come to Down and Dromore and see them. Right back to Patrick's time. And our security was being found in that. But what it tells us in this passage most wonderfully is this, that when we choose to give up all our human securities for the sake of the kingdom, he says, sell your possessions. Give to the needy. We find that pretty hard. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. I would be blessed just to know that God brings me into his kingdom under his rule, under his authority, in the security that that gives me. But what this verse tells us is something more amazing still. Your presiding bishop was preaching to royalty. I don't know what the Queen gave him, but I do know something. She didn't give him the United Kingdom. People don't do that. Kings don't do that, except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who declares that he is giving us his kingdom, that we are going to rule with him, that we are going to rule with the authority of Jesus Christ, even though we may seem at times to be small. Isn't that amazing? Now, I started by saying the joy we have of coming to the Diocese of Albany year after year after year. And you know, one of the things that amazes me is that we go around the camp here in the Camp of the Woods, and people come up to me and say, thank you for coming. They're always very nice, and they'll say, thank you, Bishop, for coming. Then they used to kiss my ring, but they've stopped doing that. By the way, just as an aside, I love your banners. But when Bishop Dan came to Down and Dromore at first, he came into Dromore Cathedral and he said, I see it's low church. Said, there's no cross or candles on the communion table, but there are two banners of our Blessed Lady on either side of the sanctuary. Those were the Mother's Union banners, June. You see, if you'd similar banners in Down and Dromore, two-thirds of them would be of Our Blessed Lady. We are much more high church than you at times. I was saying that when I go around, people say, thank you for coming, thank you for coming. And I'm thinking, why are they thanking me for coming? We love being here. We wouldn't miss it. We really enjoy it. It blesses us. It builds us up. It's part of our year. And the truth is, do you know why we have come year after year after year? We have come, Liz and I, year after year after year because part of our heart is here. And you can reverse that and say part of our heart is here because we've come year after year after year. And we turn around and we meet someone else whom we know, and it just blesses us with the fellowship of God's people. And that little verse at the end of that first paragraph of our reading puts it like this. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, I know where my treasure is. My treasure is the Good Shepherd. My treasure is God the Father. My treasure is God the King, who gives me his kingdom, there are no treasures more important than that. And we were thinking last night at the healing service about the moments when we don't know how long we have to go. But the truth is, these are the lasting things. In the hymn that I generally don't like, Be Thou My Vision, there's a wonderful line, and it puts it like this. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. So thank you, bless you, and fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.